Oh yeah. Linux in the house. Shizzle McNizzle. Welcome to Linux in the Howie House.
Yeah.
This is episode number 6 in October.
I don't think you should say that so happy. It's kind of shameful.
It is. You're shameful. I've been waiting to record for a couple weeks now. Now
you have not. You just spent like 20. Actually, you spent like an hour and 20 minutes playing your Batman game while I was ready to go. You're like, hold on, let me do this level one more time.
You said you weren't even going to record today because you had to go to the farm and do a science project.
Well, I didn't go volunteer today, and mom's not home to take me to the store to get my science fair stuff, so I'm here to record now. So, yeah, that's all that matters.
All right. Well, since our last show, before we talk about your homework, which should have been a leisurely homework and a fun homework, let's talk about some of the feedback that we got.
Okay.
Have a couple comments on the website. One from Dave. He said, for show ideas, how about introducing Paige to some shell scripting? And for homework, she could write a simple script of her choosing and discuss how she went about it. That's an idea. How about that, huh?
I have no idea what that means, and I think it sounds difficult.
Yeah. Well, it's something to think about. Maybe soon we can jump into the shell scripting stuff. We shall see. That's a thought. Good thought. People are thinking. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Gobinyu.
Talking about.
It's another comment. Said that he's loving all the GIMP stuff. It's in the loss in a while, but after hearing your review, he decided to give it another shot. So hopefully that. Well, he liked you talking about how you created the logo. We did not see Sita Sings the Blues yet, did we?
I kind of watched it, but I kind of forget it.
I don't know if we actually watched. I thought we. I don't know yet. I gotta pull it back down. I thought we did. But there's something to look forward to. Now, Klaatu. You know who Klaatu is, right? Did you read his email?
Hold on, let me check. I think so. I tried to read all the emails.
Now, he's the one, well, first off, he posted in the comment on the website, and then he also sent us an email, which is really great. Now, he said the GIMP tutorials are difficult to find because they're linear.
Uh-huh.
They kind of assume you know everything or know nothing. He said he found a pretty good book from Packet Publishing.
Yeah.
And I'll have to look into that. And he will be at SELF next year, so if you go with me, he can maybe sit down and show you some basics. Maybe by then you'll be able to show him some basics.
Maybe. I don't know. I just kind of figure it out as I go along. I kind of, like, introduce myself to each tool as I make things. That's kind of how I'm learning right now, so... Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Well, he breaches the subject of vectors, and I do think that once you get learning how to do vectors and stuff, you will you'll enter a whole new world, especially with some of the stuff we'll talk about today. Robert Cunningham sent us feedback. He said he's we're doing great. He loves the show. He hopes to see episode 6 for before Christmas. Early Christmas present for you, Robert. Here you go.
Yeah.
Patrick.
There you go.
Patrick the Man Pokey, who loves nothing more than to push the envelope right over the top and into the crevice of extreme work. Actually, this isn't too tough. You might actually be working with this, and I don't know if we'll get to talking about it tonight or what, but he suggested you learn how to record with Audacity and do some work in Audacity.
I've been working in Audacity.
Now, his suggestion was we can record the show like a double ender, although we're recording out of Mumble now, so that would make it a little difficult. It says to turn the Mumble bitrate settings all the way down, and Should have actually looked at this before we started the show again. But thank you, Patrick. We'll take your suggestions to heart. Good stuff. We want to get and next show, if the mumble's bad, that's Paige's fault.
Oh yeah, it's my fault. Sure it is.
Now, Klaatu sent us an email that he wants to emphasize that your show, your review of his show, GNU World Order, okay, was not mean, so don't be worried about it. He recommends maybe you listen to some more episodes in the future. He told me the other day he's putting one out on Slacker Media, which may interest you. Keep that in mind. Each show's a little different, just so you're aware of that. He also said you might want to check out Hacker Public Radio. You have the sticker on your laptop.
So yes, I do.
That's pretty good. And
along with the Christmas sticker that Nana, your mom, sent me for Halloween.
Yeah. Happy Hallow Christmas.
Yeah, it's got a penguin on it and everything. Little candy canes. What now? So.
That's great. But he encourages to keep up the artwork and keep up the show, so that's good. I also want to make a comment that last week I erroneously said thank you to Sound Chaser for providing us with the Mumble server to record from. It's actually Delwyn that I should be thanking, and Sound Chaser, great guy, but it's actually Delwyn's Mumble server, so I wanted to make comment of that, and I hope I didn't screw it up again, but I'm pretty sure. But anyway, let's talk about your homework, Paige. Rolling right into your homework. I know there was some more feedback, and I think I missed some people, but never fear, we read all your feedback, and I keep it in the back of my mind because I know that there was a comment that I will be getting to. Somebody had thrown at us, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. But anyway, your homework this past week was supposed to be a fun bit of homework, and that was to find and play two games.
Well, yeah. So this is the first homework that I actually didn't feel compelled to write down everything on an OpenOffice, I'm sorry. It's not OpenOffice. It's LibreOffice.
Yes, LibreOffice.
Documents. So I'm just going to freestyle it here and see how it goes. It was Beneath a Steel Sky and Battle for Wesnoth Map Editor.
Wait. Did you actually play the game or did you play the map editor?
Well, you told me to download it, so I downloaded it and I tried playing both, but one of them wouldn't load, so I just looked at the map editor too, and it wouldn't load. So I did both of them, and I just said map editor because I did both. So I did Battle for Wesnoth and Battle for Wesnoth map editor.
All right, okay. So let's talk about Battle for Wesnoth first.
It wouldn't load.
What happened?
I tried. Well, it wouldn't load, and I just got a black screen, and so I tried exiting out of it and, like, force closing it, but it wouldn't, like, the force close thing wouldn't come up. It just stayed there, and it wouldn't go away. And that's what happened with my Audacity, too. So I ended up just going a few days, not really doing anything with it, because I had so many other things up, like LibreOffice documents and GIMP projects up, that I was just like, I don't really want to deal with this right now, so I'll just do all this first, and then I'll save it all, and then I'll restart my computer. And so I finally got around to restarting my computer today, and it's all gone now, and I haven't tried to bring it back up yet, but it just...
Wait, how long has your computer been running without a restart?
Like, 12 hours, maybe? It's froze, the two applications froze last night,
okay.
And I had all that stuff up, and I didn't want to just, like...
All right, just go ahead.
It all out.
Don't worry about
because
that.
Because I was working on things.
You know what I want to do?
What do you want to do?
Do you have anything you want to add about the map editor?
I didn't understand it. Actually, I do. There's no scroll bar on my computer. I couldn't scroll down to the different little graphics build.
Yeah, that might be a whole different issue, which, we'll look into that together. How about that?
That's one thing that I don't like about whatever you installed on my computer that made it all different and whatnot. One, there's no preferences, and two, whenever I pull up a new tab, the thing that has, like, the minimize, the widen, the window widening thing and the exit out of the window, it's not there. I have to like go down, I have to right click on the thing at the bottom, and I have to press move to get it minimized a little bit.
Okay.
And there's no preferences, so I don't know how to
All
change
right.
that.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. One thing at a time. First off, that's the new Ubuntu. That's
I
not
don't.
me. I didn't do it.
I didn't say you did it. You just said you installed it.
I didn't install it.
I didn't.
I
I mean,
said it
you
would be
helped
you'd
me.
be recommended to upgrade. What we could do, one of two things. Let's take a segue here. Before we get off the topic of Battle for Westnoff, I just want to say let's hold that one off until the next show, because I do want to get your opinion on Battle for Westnoff, and I don't want to talk about it right now then, because you didn't actually get to play the game. Secondly, how do you feel? How did you feel about? We're going to segue from the game topic for a second before we talk about Beneath a Steel Sky. We're going to segue from that. Let's talk about the upgrade that you did, or what? Tell me how you went about doing the upgrade, and then we'll get into what the heck happened.
Well, I was kind of dreading it because it appeared like 2 weeks ago, and I was kind of dreading it because I love the version of Ubuntu that I had, and I remember the last time I upgraded, I was completely distraught and I hated it, and you had to change it back. And so you recommended that I change it, so I finally was like, okay, I'll change it now. And so I went in and I did that and I changed it, and then like 2 hours later, it was only like 25% done, and then I closed my computer. I didn't turn it off. I put it in like sleep mode or hibernate mode or whatever it's called. Not hibernate. I think it was sleep mode. I just closed it and then I opened it again and I tried everything, but it would not come off of sleep mode. And so I had to shut it off and restart it. Because it just, like, the side button wasn't even, the power button wasn't even lit, but the buttons on the side were lit. It was on, but it wouldn't come off of sleep mode. Which happens sometimes, especially if I like just close it on accident and then reopen it too fast, and I have to like click the space bar a couple times to get it to load, and then it goes to like the startup screen, and then it goes straight to. It's confusing, but it's because my computer is kind of glitchy right there. But I did that, and then you had to like spend a couple hours fixing it, and then I finally got on it, and I mean, I expected all my wallpapers and stuff that was on my desktop to not be there, of course, because I upgraded to a new version. I would have to put it there again. But when I opened Firefox, like it took me a couple minutes to find where the close button was because the top applications bar was blocking it. It never shows unless I right click on the bottom bar. I right click over the where it is, the tab that it's on. If I right click it and then I go to move, which is right under maximize and right over resize, if I click move and then I move it a little bit, it goes back to like this, not the screen size, but a little bit less than the screen size, so I can actually exit out. But when I don't do that, I can't exit out, which is really annoying, especially if I don't want to spend 25 minutes trying to exit out all my stuff. And I don't want to have to go to the bottom of the screen and exit out of it. And I don't have a preference bar anymore. I have applications places, and there's no preference bar. And I don't know how to get it back because whenever I right click on the top bar, it doesn't give me anything. So I don't know how to get that back. And I can't go to the preference bar and try and change that.
Okay, what when you say preference bar, what kind of preferences are you looking for?
Like when I had on the other version, I had the preference bar and I clicked on it and it had like the screen timeout, the brightness volume. It had, well, not really brightness volume. It had like the keyboard shortcuts. It had the customize your Firefox thing or whatever it's called, where you choose the color and everything of all your windows. It had the customize. It had you can choose your like mouse size, color thing. You could choose the font everything was in, stuff like that. It was all in the preferences, and now I don't have a preferences.
Okay. Let's step back a second. Let me explain a little bit to our lovely listeners what kind of happened during the install. You started off the upgrade process to upgrade from Natty Narwhal, which is 1104, And it asks you if you want to install 1110, which is Oneric Ocelot. And I had said maybe you want to try out the new Ubuntu, right? And so you went ahead and clicked go ahead and upgrade when that popped up the window, correct?
Yeah.
And it went through. Now, during the install process, you waited forever and ever, right?
Yeah, I waited like, I started at like 2 o'clock and it was like 6 o'clock and it was still only 25%.
Okay, and
if not less.
And we had
internet wouldn't connect. So
when I had got it, you had restarted the machine. And what I did was what happened was it came up in a black screen, correct? And that's what you remember. Now what I had to do is I went over to another console, I logged in, and then as root I did dpkg reconfigure, I think it was dash A is what it told me to do, and continue the installation process. It went all the way through. I had talked a little bit about this on Tilts and how much of a pain in the butt it was. It was not very nice. After all the packages were installed, I did an apt-get safe upgrade to make sure that everything was upgraded. It ran through some more installation crap, and then I did it again, and it said everything was updated. I rebooted. We didn't get a desktop. Long story short, it turned out that LightDM, which is replaced GDM, was not running properly. Why it was running properly, don't know. Switched it over to GDM until I had erroneously said Ubuntu's using systemd, but it's actually still using Upstart, and trying to figure that how to get that to stick. Once that was fixed, it going into GDM worked like a charm. It was defaulting to the Ubuntu Netbook Remix, Unity Netbook Remix. I switched it to they don't call it Unity in the drop-down menu. It's just called Ubuntu Netbook Remix. Then there's Ubuntu Desktop. There's Ubuntu 2D Desktop. They're all Unity-based, and they were completely different than what you're used to under GNOME. In fact, you had seen the Unity-based one on the Netbook Remix. You did not like it. Back when we originally had your system, we switched it back over to Classic GNOME. I pulled down Classic GNOME. Actually, I think it might even be GNOME 3 is what it is right now. And it's still a lot like Unity in some respects of how it looks. You're not as accustomed to that. And I think what you're fighting against here when you're talking about your Windows and stuff and not being able to minimize, maximize, and close all your applications start full screen now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is Unity. That's Ubuntu decided that every application should start full screen. Every application they have moved. Were you used to the menu bar being on an application, like in the window of the application, right? It is now a universal menu bar at the top of the screen where you're used to seeing like the GNOME menu, your preferences, like you said, and all sorts of different things like that. That has been replaced by the universal menu bar. Now, this is what we can do, Paige. You have a couple of choices here, and choice is always great. You can, one, leave it as it is and learn how to work with it. You could, two, instead of using GNOME and Unity, you could switch over to XFCE, which is another desktop that I have installed on there. There's some subtle differences to it, but it's a lot of people who do not like the new look of GNOME 3 and do not like Unity have migrated to XFCE. Or you could switch distros and go to something like Linux Mint or a different distribution, and it would alleviate some of that stuff. Now, those choices are all yours, and you can think about them. Let's hear what you have to say. You don't have to answer now, but I'm just saying.
I'm not going to answer now. I have no idea. I mean, all I know is I don't like this.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that I personally have a grudge with it. It's that it's just not very user-friendly for me. It's very difficult to navigate around, and it's uncomfortable to use.
Well, let me say something. You can have a grudge against a page. You don't have to like it.
Well, I mean, it's not that different from what I used to have. I mean, the only thing that's that different for me is the preference bar and the stupid universal tool, whatever you said. That's the only thing I don't like about it. I mean, otherwise, it looks pretty much the same to me. But it's kind of uncomfortable to use with those two things that I kind of took for granted before gone. I don't really enjoy using it.
Well, let's try this. We'll do this later on. Why don't we switch you over to XFCE because it's already installed on there and ready to go, and we'll see if you like that any better.
Okay.
That later. All right. And anything else you want to say about it?
Eh.
Okay. Let's go back now and tell us about Beneath a Steel Sky.
Okay. Well, I used Beneath a Steel Sky. I played it for first off, the intro was 25 minutes long, and sound quality wasn't that bad. But it's an old game, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It wasn't. It was actually pretty good. The graphics were something I would expect from an old game. Blocky, but still, you know, pretty good, recognizable. Kind of like something from a Mario game or something like that, the graphic quality in a Mario game. And so, after the intro started, it just puts you in this room, and you walk up the stairs, and you're on this platform, and they're not very good with the instructions. There's nothing that tells you what to do. You basically have to fend for yourself until you figure out where you're supposed to go in that frame, what you're supposed to do, which took me about 5 minutes to do that. And then I found out that I had to get a certain thing from off the wall. And then I had to go over to this door that wouldn't open, and I had to open it. And it was kind of confusing because I learned out the hard way that if you walk down the steps, you'll get shot. Or you can even reach the bottom level. It was kind of funny though, because you got shot and you fell off the steps and you landed head first onto the floor. But anyway, you...
You know what?
But
stop you right there, because this is what I'm going to tell you. Say, don't talk about the specifics of this game anymore, because it would ruin this type of game. It's like a adventure puzzle game, and those little things. People who haven't played it yet and who might want to play it, if you reveal those things, it will ruin the gameplay for them.
Okay.
Because I haven't played it fully yet, and now I want to play it, because it sounds. So tell me, how far did you get? How far
I got? Well, it doesn't really have markers, but I guess you could say that I got to the fourth frame, in terms of each frame of the game, each different room. I'm using the room loosely because they're not each different room. Sometimes they're hallways. But I guess I got to the fourth frame, and then I was just so confused because I was just going back and forth in between each room, and I was trying to figure out what to do, and I couldn't figure out what to do because there was, one, no instructions, and you didn't get any clues, really, and two, I wasn't even sure what I was supposed to do after that. So basically it was about 25 minutes of gameplay until I was stuck. And about 10 minutes after that, trying to figure it out, and then finally being like, okay, I gotta go to bed anyway. So I just kind of shut it off, and it automatically saves, I think. I just kind of shut it off, and then I put it away. I went to bed. Overall, it was a pretty interesting game until I couldn't figure out what to do.
Yeah, these games, the Scum V games, LucasArts and stuff like that released them back in the late 90s, mid-90s, late 90s. One of them's Monkey Island, which is extremely popular. They're point and click adventure games where you have to solve puzzles like that. I just reviewed one that I picked up from the Humble Indie Bundle called Trauma, and maybe I'll slap that on your machine to give it a try. It's a really interesting one. It's just like that. You fire this game up, you don't have any instructions. You just need to figure out what you have to do. And, you know, you're told, like in Trauma, you're told you have an objective, and it says, like, find the ghost, and then you got to find the ghost. And it's like that. You have a bunch of different pictures or screens that you go through to solve puzzles.
Get closer with this, I don't even think it had an objective. You kind of just, like, I think the objective that it gave you was the objective you used to beat the game. Like, or, like, the objective they give you at the very beginning of the game is, like, get out of this place, something like that. I don't know, but it's, like, it seems that that's the whole entire point of the game. So I don't quite know how it's going with the objective thing. And yeah, it really doesn't give you any instructions whatsoever. And it doesn't give you any tools either. You got to find all your own tools.
And that's the challenge of these games.
Yeah, especially because, like, the tools aren't, like, in some games they'll be shiny. Like, I've seen things on the internet, like, it's shiny by game standards. It must be important. You know, when things like glow or shine or sparkle or something like that, and you click on them and they turn out to be an important tool. In this game, there's nothing that separates the object that you need from anything else. You're pretty much just clicking randomly until you see something that might be useful. And it's really confusing because the game doesn't have much color in the rooms. It's kind of just like gray and beige coloring. And so you see something that stands out as a different color and you keep clicking on it thinking it might be another tool, even though it isn't. And then there's something else that might be a tool, like a gray pipe amongst a heap of trash metal or something. It's just confusing. Some parts are confusing. And then once you get it, like, the next five parts are easy. And then it's, like level 10 difficulty.
Anything else you want to say about it?
I want to go back and try and play the game through, because it is an interesting game, and it seems to have an interesting story to it. I would probably, out of five penguins, I would probably give it a 3. And the reason I would take away two penguins was because, I mean, I know it's probably, there's probably a point to not giving any instructions, but it's kind of difficult when there's no instructions. And there's no, like, it's kind of difficult. So I would probably give it a 3 or 3.5. But I'm not saying it's a bad game. Because it is a good game. It's just kind of difficult to figure out.
All right, Page of Rage.
So,
we had, I forget who it was. We got an email, I don't think it was a forum posting. somebody had asked about how do you, you use Linux. You're proud to use Linux. I've heard you talk about it.
Heated argument with my friend, Windows using friend.
Before we get to that, one of the questions that had come to us was, what do people think about when they hear that you use Linux? What experiences have you had with regards to that? And you could talk about you're talking with your friend before too.
Was that an email? I think that was an email, right?
It might have been.
Trying to find the email so I can get answer the question directly.
Answer my question.
Okay, what was your question? Like, what do people say when they hear
that? Do they ever say anything? Do they know?
Yes,
they do.
They. It's a very wide. It's actually surprisingly a wide range of things people say. Sometimes I get a high five. That's very rare. But sometimes I find an occasional Linux user in my school or just randomly out somewhere when I'm with my friends or my friend's family or something like that. But sometimes there's that one glowing light in the dim, dark school or place or room of life that uses Linux that I find, and I'm just, like, so excited, and I'm like, yes, you are our future. thank you so much. And they share my excitement. And then there's the people who have no idea what Linux is. And I kind of explain it to them, and they're just like, so why don't you use Microsoft or Windows or something like that? And I try to explain to them that it's completely different, and I don't use Microsoft or Windows because I don't like them, and I like Linux because I've had a history with Linux that's good, and I've had a history with Microsoft and Windows that's not so good in school and stuff like that. And I would have preferred to never have used, I think it's Microsoft. I don't think they use Windows. I would prefer to never have to use that. I just don't like how anything is set out or what you have to do to do stuff. It's just crazy. And then they don't understand, and they're just like, well, yeah, whatever. I don't really care about computers that much anyway. And I'm like, then why are we talking about this? So, and then the other response I would get is Linux is stupid. Because people can be ignorant, and they hear very, I want to say false, but they don't hear much about it. And the things that they do here are not positive things, and so they think Linux is a big bad monster that's out to get Microsoft and Windows and destroy everything. And that's not true, because Linux is a great thing, and people don't really know that Linux is a great thing. A lot of people don't know that Linux is a great thing, and it's a shame that they don't know, because Linux is a great thing. But I respect people's opinions, and I'm just like, okay, man, if you don't really like Linux, I understand that, but I do, so let's just leave it at that. We don't have to go into it anymore. But, you know, it kind of hurts me a little bit because Linux is like part of my family. It's like another person. I love it so much. And I don't like it when other people badmouth it. So
why do they think Linux is that kind of threat to Microsoft or whatever? I mean, trying to destroy Microsoft?
I don't know. I think some people think it's like stealing, I guess. And that it's dumb. And I think some people think it's a bunch of people who sit around and take things and get free stuff and hack all the time. But it's not. It's people who give to other people and try and change things and help people out with different things. And it's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. And people just hear it wrong.
We can say that it's not stealing, but two, there's a lot of free, as in both free of cost and free as in liberty or free software that you can view the code and
yeah, and
sharing.
I think that's where people get the idea that it's a bad thing, like you shouldn't get that stuff for free, because it's like you shouldn't be able to get this for free. You should have to pay for it. And you shouldn't be able to change it because it's something somebody else did. But I think Linux is great like that because people do make stuff, and people allow other people to change what they made for good, for the better, and let other people use it and change it and use it and share with other people. And I think that's a good thing. I like sharing. It makes people happy.
Now, when you say that people say about, I mean, we can also say that the people who work on Linux and a lot of people involved in Linux are also involved in hacker community. And there is a big difference between hacking, which is exploration and taking things apart and learning how things work, and cracking, which is the darker side of breaking in and stealing people's information and stuff like that.
See, I think that's the thing people don't understand. I don't think people understand the difference between hacking and cracking, especially because I think people think that hacking is the worst thing on earth and you will get in so much trouble for it, when it's really not. It's cracking that's the bad thing. But because people hear things like the Linux hackers or Hacker Public Radio, stuff like that, they think, oh my gosh, it must be a bad thing. Because people can hack, and people who are associated with Linux are talked about being hackers, even though it's not really a bad thing. I think that's where people get the idea that Linux is not good.
Have you ever tried?
I know a few people who think Linux is cheating out with software, and you should use Microsoft or Windows, and you should pay for it all.
Have you ever tried to provide a counterpoint to the whole hacker cracker argument?
What do you mean by that?
Have you
Like,
ever have you ever tried to say, your perceptions of a hacker is incorrect?
well, I guess you could say that most of the time I just kind of let it go and let them think what they want to think because, well, not what they want to think, but I let them have their own opinions because one, especially at school and stuff, I don't really want to get into a big argument. I'm not there to get into arguments. I'm there for an education, which a lot of people don't understand. And two, sometimes people can't be saved. Sometimes they're just too far gone and they're just, it's too far, and I'm just going to leave it to somebody else. But when I get a chance, and I think it's a good idea, I will try and explain to somebody the difference between hacking and cracking and why it's not really a bad thing and why the Linux users that hack are not bad people. But
Well, the media.
sometimes people are just unwilling to listen.
Well, there is that, and the media has done a fantastic job of shedding negative light on the concept of hacking.
Yeah, that's also the thing.
Now,
People hear about it and they're just like, oh, that must be a very bad thing.
and the
I'm gonna
people,
associate myself with that.
I am really surprised that aside from contact with you, that your friends have actually, and people have actually heard about Linux.
Oh yeah, a lot of people that I know, a lot of people have heard about Linux. Whether it's just, oh yeah, I heard it in some sort of, report, or I heard it in like on the news or something. A lot of people have heard the name Linux. Whether they know what it is or what it's associated to, I don't know. But they've heard what Linux is, and whether they've heard that it's tied to people who are stealing stuff, or whether it's tied to good people who are trying to share with their community, I don't know. But a lot of people have heard the name Linux before. That I know. I don't know outside of people I know, but a lot of people that I know have heard the name Linux before.
When people that you're talking with get the impression that you should not use it because it's stealing, and it's they have the idea that it's pirating software and stuff. I have two questions about that. One, is this kids? I will say, students or your friends that are your age? Is it also include adults? And do they think that software should be paid for, or do they think that Linux is actually pirating software and stealing software from Microsoft run on computers?
Okay, I'm going to answer your second question first because I'm afraid I'll forget it. I don't think it's a matter of whether you're paying for the software or not. I think it's a matter of, I think they think that Linux is pirating information. I don't think that, well, that's what I think. And I don't like that they think that because it's not true. And I mean, Linux is not derived from Microsoft or Windows. It's its own thing. It was created by a group of people. It was not created, branched off from either company stealing their software or not. It's making its own thing. It's its own thing. It's Linux. It's not Microsoft. It's not Windows. It's Linux. It has really nothing to do with the other two, except that it run on a computer. It's used for a computer. Or a phone or something like that. It's used as software for software. And that's what I don't like is that people they automatically think of Windows or Microsoft and they just think that Linux is the bad side, like the bad side of a monopoly. They think it's the bad neighborhood when you only got to pay like $60 for each little house. I mean, and they think that Microsoft and Windows is like the boardwalk of it all. But it's not. Just because Linux is a small or less known thing does not mean it's the bad part. It is good, and I love it. And I think other people really need to broaden their horizons when it comes to technology.
Well said.
And The other question, when you asked if it's like more adults or more children or children adults, I hear it's not really said that. I don't think I've ever really heard anybody say, "Oh, they're a bunch of bad people, aren't they?" But people get very offensive. They get very defensive when I talk about Linux and I tell them that it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's actually, I like it better than Microsoft or Windows. Mostly kids, because I talk to a lot of kids, of course, because I go to school. And but I have actually been around my friends or something, and their parents or grandparents hear me talking about Linux, and I think I've had like one or two times where they tell me that they don't use Linux because they don't believe it's right, or something in that context, that it shouldn't be used, and I get kind of put down. It saddens me, because even adults, they just believe anything they hear, or they don't even look into what they believe, and they don't go and they don't find out if it's really such a bad thing, because it's not. And you know, sometimes I just nod my head and say, okay, if that's what you believe, then that's fine. But I don't like that people just go on a whim and they automatically assume that Linux is a horrible thing, because it's not.
That's actually, that really surprises me. And it should, I guess maybe it shouldn't, because we've heard about this a lot, mythical FUD spreading machine that leads people to thinking all those things that you're saying, but I've never actually experienced it, and it blows me away. And I know you're in school, learn, and it's tough talking to people sometimes, counteracting people's arguments, but don't be afraid to say, look, you're wrong. That's not what it is all about. That's not it at all. And
yeah, I'm not like, I know I sound like the awesomest person ever, and I seem like I could just crush anybody's argument in a minute, but I don't like arguing with people. But Linux would probably be one of the only obsessions. I mean, not obsession, I'm sorry. What word am I looking for? The only objection to that? I think that's the word I'm looking for.
Okay. The only objection to... Do you mean like you would normally not argue with somebody, but because it's a topic of Linux, you would object with them?
Linux, why I cut my hair as I do, and why I like anime and manga would probably be the only thing I would argue about, because Linux is a big part of my life. And it's not like it's wedged its way in there. I've opened my heart to Linux, and I know that it's something that will never let me down, because I trust in it so much. And it really bothers me when people just say whatever they want about Linux whenever it's brought up, or whenever I say that I use Linux, and they just go off telling me that it's a bad thing to do when they don't know anything about it. And so I get very defensive, and I start making snap arguments, and I'm just like, I don't really want to talk to them at the moment, because it's just, it makes me so distraught that somebody would say something so bad about something that's such a big part of my life. But then I just gotta go, man, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, and you need to go look up this wonderful thing, and you need to get your facts straight about it, because it is not a bad thing at all. And it's kind of hard to say that sometimes, but sometimes it's necessary.
Well, that's a really interesting thing, and I guarantee that there are going to be so many people that are really going to be somewhat floored by what you said, and very interested in hearing what you said. I would be flabbergasted if we didn't get a lot of comments on that topic there. That is pretty eye-opening and very, very, very interesting.
I guess.
It is. I guarantee you're going to hear a lot of feedback from this. But scary as that is, or as interesting as that is, you have anything else you want to add on to that topic?
Well, I don't really remember where the topic started. but no, not really. I think I've said all that needs to be said about how I feel on the whole Linux, is it good, is it bad issue. And maybe we should just move on to a lighter topic.
Yeah, I don't want to. How far are we?
You mean how long have we?
We're almost an hour into the show, and I don't want to. I know you have some other work to do tonight, so let's go on. Let's talk about some GIMP stuff, Paige, because I know. First off, I want to go into these in a little more detail. We're going to be putting these up on the website. I don't know how we're going to put them up yet. There's a lot of stuff that you did. Well, let's see what we.
Maybe we shouldn't put it all up. It's not all good. Some of it is just freestyle boredom babies. A lot of it is kind of, not really that good. So maybe just some of it.
But don't. It's already all up there. It's in the. We'll have. Okay. I don't know. We'll worry about that later. But first off, what I want to talk about is the one that draws a lot of interest to me. They all do. But what I find very fascinating was you did, well, the first time I saw it, I was blown away. Dark Anime Angel. Now, this is not an image that you drew.
No.
You had taken this image. Now, I think if you work, you could probably draw this. And if you learn Inkscape, you could probably get this into a computer after you draw it. But
I could probably traditionally draw it.
Yes.
But I don't think I could draw that on the computer. But I could probably traditionally draw it and then like put it into the computer. Yeah, probably. I don't know, maybe.
Now, what you did here is when you see the image, the original image, it's a lot of it is grayscale, I guess. I don't know But it's... What?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say it's pretty much, it's close to like a black and white drawing, except for the hilt and pommel of her sword is gold.
And her wings are kind of tinted a little bit orangey-red.
Yeah, I see some spots where you can see that.
Yeah, now, and her eyes, I think they're purple.
Are they? I gotta zoom in. Let me zoom in on that. Okay.
Yeah, they're kind of purple grayish.
Okay, I can
see
that.
And she's got a little bit of purple tints on her wings. So basically very black, white, gray coloring.
So wings themselves are kind of like, you said a little bit of orangish tinge on there, so maybe a little bit of purple, but primarily, white into a dark grayish color. And her hair is supposed to be pretty much white.
Yeah.
But what you had done, which I find really, really, really well done, too. And I'm trying to find some flaws in it. I'm not a graphic designer, but anyway, what you had done is you had darkened the wings to be a lot blacker. A darker, closer to black. You changed her hair color to red, and you also changed her eyes to green.
Yeah.
And how did you do it? Because it looks, I mean, I'm going between the two, and it just looks, whoever drew this, fantastic job. I kind of like yours better, your additions to it.
I think I like my colorings better. The picture itself is amazing, but I kind of like the red hair and the green eyes, and I kind of like the darker wings. I don't know, I think it gives the whole dress a good contrast. But yeah, go on.
How did you do this?
Well, first I went on YouTube like a couple months ago, maybe like 2 months ago, and I found this tutorial on how to change hair color. And basically what you do is you go to the bottom corner and it's got the quick mask. And I didn't use that. It like surrounds the whole thing in red and it makes it And you can like, you can color on it, it turns it white, and that section becomes colored. And I didn't use that. The reason I didn't use that was because I tried using it at first, but the area, especially since her hair is just so, it's so, there's so many different little pieces everywhere that I would have to be zooming in like 800 and then zooming back out and in and back out, and it was just too much work when I could just use a simpler method. So for this, I would not use the quick mask, but for other things, I would probably use the quick mask. But if you know that you have like an area that you're not going to be able to get in without zooming in and out over and over again, then you should probably just go over and use the paths tool, which is what I used. I completely selected all of her hair, made sure to get all of it, which is easy to do as long as you make sure that it's not the whole air, the whole you select what you can and then make sure it's not selected anymore, and then you go down and you do the bottom and then you make sure that's not selected anymore, and then you do the top, and you should have it all pretty much each part of her hair that you can see selected. And then I clicked selection from path because I was not stroking it. I was trying to just get it all selected. And then once I did that, I went over to the bucket fill. Oh, before I did all this, I made sure to create a new layer because if you don't, the bucket fill might turn out weird and you might want to undo it, and if you don't have a new layer, it's kind of difficult. And also, you can do different things with a new layer. And to make it look good, you have to use a new layer, and I'll explain why you need to use a new layer at one certain point. It's really important. And then you have that all filled in. You fill it in with the color you want. And I chose this red color. I actually had mom help me a little bit because I wasn't sure what like color red I should use. So I picked a pretty pale pinkish red color and I pretty much filled it all in. And then I went to the layers and I selected the layer that it was on, and I went to mode and I clicked color, and it basically just like forms to the color, to the shading, the shadows and the light of her hair, and it basically just makes like a mask of red. It's not like a solid color. It's kind of like making it transparent, a bit transparent, but it's better quality. And then I just pretty much with her, that's pretty much all you had to do with the hair. As long as you didn't mess up with any red parts when you were having it, and if you mess up, you pretty much have to just redo the whole thing, which is a pain in the butt, but there's really no way around that. And then for the eyes, oh, I did pretty much the same thing with the wings too. And the wings were actually easier than the hair because they were all one thing. There was nothing in front of them that made it so that I would have to like stop, make sure it wasn't selected, and then go to a different part of the wings. Except for right underneath her chin. There's a little bit of her wings right there. But I just selected that all and then I made it a bit darker. And then I hit mode color and it contoured to the wings shading and highlights. And then for her eyes, I pretty much just hit I hit the paths tool and I selected her eye. The color part of her eye, and I did the same thing. I just filled it in with the green, and I can't remember if I hit mode color or if I just changed the opacity, because I think it works out the same either way with the eyes, because it's not that much of a difference except for the little fleck of light. So either or would be okay, but if you wanted consistency, you would just do the mode color.
That's pretty kooky. That is awesome. Now, how long did this take? Now, is that the same process you did with the wings?
Yeah, pretty much. Except I did one wing at a time. So, I don't think the color is 100% the same on both wings. And it really shouldn't be. Because one wing is farther back than the other, so one wing would be a darker color. So, yeah, so I did one wing and then I did the other as I saw fit. And it's really important to make each different selection, like the hair, one layer, then another layer, and do the wing, one wing on that layer, then another layer, do the other wing, and then another layer, and do the eyes, so that you can change like the wing color or the hair color or the eye color without changing something else, or the opacity or the mode or anything, without changing anything else in that layer and not having to select it all again.
That is pretty darn cool. That is very pretty.
Thanks.
All right.
So the whole thing only took me about, let's see, it was only about 25, 40 minutes. It wasn't really that hard. Of course, I've used the pass tool a lot, so I'm very used to it. Figuring out the pass tool can be kind of difficult at first. And once you get it, it's like it will be your favorite tool on earth. It's like the most versatile thing there. It's pretty much what you use to create all your drawings, all the line art, and it's what you use to select small bits and pieces, and I think it's a really good tool. Probably the most versatile tool there. So if you have like a good history with the pass tool and you know about the whole layers situation you got going there, then you've pretty much got a project that will take you about half an hour to an hour and a half, depending on what you're trying to change. Because, I mean, you could be trying to change something as simple as the eye color, or you could be trying to change something like the dress color, which you've got a whole nother level of difficulty there. Actually, looking at it, it doesn't seem too difficult. But it's just a big portion, and there's small details here and there. But, you know, everything shouldn't be too bad as long as you got some pretty basic gimping skills. And I say basic gimping skills lightly because my gimping skills probably aren't basic. They're very scattered. Because I've never used any learning devices for my gimping. I've just kind of learned the tools as I go along. So I probably know something very basic, and then I probably know something very high up there, experienced, and like all in between. And so I don't really know what my level of knowledge would be considered in a scale or anything. But if you asked me, it would probably be something pretty basic to do this.
Sorry, you know who called.
Oh.
She's on her, mommy's on her way home, but
Oh, I thought it was your girlfriend in California, but okay.
Yeah, girlfriend in California. Now, when you're talking about the pathing, you're also getting into learning the Bezier tools and stuff like that, which I think is getting close to being able to get some really cool work done in Inkscape.
Yeah, I guess.
Getting close to it. But
I've just never really been able to, because with Inkscape, I think you have to have at least a taut basic knowledge to be able to understand it. And I have never dabbled into Inkscape. I've never tried any online things with Inkscape. I've really never even touched it, aside from tracing the bitmap of scanned in drawings, which I can't scan in anymore because the scanner you gave me is broken, but mom said I might get one for Christmas, so I don't know. We'll see about that. But yeah, I don't know about Inkscape as it is right now.
Well, let's on a similar vein, to maybe this is close to it. Let's take a minute, because running out of time. But let's talk about the eyes, the two eyes that you did, Robin's Eye and Destry Eye. How did you do those, and what prompted you to do them?
I did Destry Eye, which is really Destry's eye. Like, it's literally his eye, like his character has that design for his eye. I did that one because I just needed, I didn't have any more drawing paper, and I needed some way to get it out so I could actually start writing my story about my characters. And it's very, like, if I had this dream, and so I had to make it into a story, and it was kind of difficult to start it without drawing something, because I had so many ideas for character designs in my head that it was cluttering my idea process, and I couldn't even start writing. So basically I had to do this, and then I couldn't draw his whole body on GIMP because I just didn't have the time or the patience, and I was very stressed out about the whole thing. And so mom took me to get drawing paper and pencils and stuff like that. And then I started drawing, and I drew him, and I basically, this was my first design for his eye. And I don't know if I used it. I don't think I'm going to use it, but I drew it anyway. And that's the reason I drew it. I just need to get the idea down. I basically just used the paths tool and a paint brush, and I think I might have used the pencil and the airbrush. Really, and it wasn't that hard.
No, I'm going to say this again, looking at these. Once you learn and master a little bit of those paths tools, which you obviously have, you're going to find that doing this in Inkscape is going to be a lot better and a lot easier. Because I think you already have some of this basic knowledge. You transition that over to Inkscape, you're going to find that you can be able to draw a whole lot faster, or design a whole lot faster and a whole lot easier under something like Inkscape as compared to doing this kind of work under the GIMP. Now, I do believe a lot of what you could do would be draw it in Inkscape, export it out, and pull it into the GIMP and do a lot of the coloring. Might be easier to do it in GIMP. But that's some really good stuff. But let's talk about the swan, because I do, the swan looks to me, what I want to say about the swan is it is elegant, and it's just so like simple. It almost looks almost like a little simple, but I would never have probably thought of doing this.
Well, I probably wouldn't have thought of doing it either, because it's called Accident Swan for a reason. It was a complete accident. I was, because my GIMP, oh, that's another reason I had to restart my computer. My GIMP paintbrush tool wasn't working. It wasn't drawing anything. And so I had to restart my GIMP and, my computer, and see if GIMP would restart too. And it did. And I was just messing around with the pencil tool. And when you use the pencil tool, none of the brushes, the different brushes, if it's like a certain shape, it won't come up as that shape with the pencil tool. That's what I figured out is the difference between the pencil and the paintbrush. If you have like, there's like a circle, it's kind of like a 3D circle, and it's in like a square box, and the pencil tool will just make a square box. It won't make a circle. You have to use the paintbrush for that, or the airbrush. But what I figured out I was just fooling around with the pencil brush, the pencil tool, I mean, not pencil brush, that would make no sense at all. The pencil tool is that, I was just messing around with it because I've never really used it before. I don't use it a lot because I have the paintbrush tool, and I thought they were pretty much the same thing, which they weren't. I find the paintbrush tool more convenient. But anyway, I was going down to the brush dynamics, and I was messing with the fade out, basically the fade out first, and I kind of got bored of that. All I did was basically draw a bunch of lines that faded out and stuff like that, and a couple Japanese characters that looks pretty cool. And then I applied a little bit of jitter to the fade out, and it kind of looked like a very rough line. It was only like 0.10 or something. It wasn't that much at all. But then I just unclicked the fade out, and then I was playing with the applied jitter, and I did it about like, probably 2 to 3, somewhere in between 2.5 to 3, in the amounts. And I was playing with that, and I was just moving it all over the screen. And while I did that, I accidentally made the figure of a swan, like the head and the neck. And then I just made the beginnings of a body, and I kind of colored all around it with the jitter, which gives it that kind of like splotchy look. And then I kind of just like kept editing it, the face and the neck a little bit, so it looked more like elegant and easily moving and flowing. And then I just kind of stopped, and it was everything I wanted.
That's pretty sweet
Yeah.
stuff. People are going to be really interested in that. Well, I guess we better stop this show because you got science project to do. Anything else you want to add before we close up?
Well, I could add, there was something I was going to do this show, but we just had so much stuff packed into it. I figured I would just say I would do it next show. Somebody asked in an email, I think. I can't remember who it was, and I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it. Somebody asked if something on the show would be that we could that I could explain my history with Linux. Since when have I used it, and how have I used it throughout my life? And I figured maybe we could do that next episode. I could just explain how I started with Linux and how I progressed through life using Linux. I don't know, but I just wanted to say that maybe that would be a possibility for next show if you guys wanted that. I mean, I don't have to do that, but I thought it was an interesting thing.
No, that's a great idea. That is a great idea.
Yeah, so. But is there any homework for me?
Yes. I'm trying to remember what we said email for the show was.
What? Email for the show?
Remember?
I have no clue. Hold on.
Thought I set that up to bounce. Thought it was show.
Show.
Oh yeah.
Feedback at Linux in the House dot
Yeah,
whatever.
feedback at linuxinthehouse.org.
Yeah, dot org.
Feedback at linuxinthehouse.org sends us email. Also, show at linuxinthehouse.org, both of us. So show or feedback will reach both of us.
Are you sure show reaches me? Didn't you make feedback because show wasn't reaching me?
Yeah, they both are the same thing.
Okay, then.
Yeah, they both go to the same place. So you should get either one. Post on the forums, or not on the forum, on the blog too is acceptable comments. We love to hear from you. Paige, your homework for next week, obviously, is to try well, next week, next show. To play, actually try out Battle for Westnoth once we get it working on your system, and to create some ringtones and talk about how you created the ringtone with Audacity.
Oh, yeah,
So we're
that's what I was doing when it closed out. Yeah, okay. I was just
on
gonna
that.
create ringtones for my favorite episode, but I guess I'll do some other things too, other ringtones and stuff. Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so anything else? Or we just close it up? Want to say bye-bye?
Bye-bye. I don't think I have anything else to add there.
All
Seems
right.
like a good homework. Nothing technical needed. Well, nothing too technical needed, I mean.
We'll get to those later on down the line.
Yeah, sure. No, no need to explain it to me now. Good. I have so much stuff going on right now. I probably won't be able to get it out until like definitely not this week 'cause my science fair project, but maybe I could try and do it around Thanksgiving time.
We will be back soon. So we want to thank
Yeah.
everybody for listening and thank you, Paige. Great job. Say bye-bye,
Thank you.
Paige.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. Linux in the house. Shizzle McNizzle. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Ready then.
Wow, this is only episode 6. Forever. All right. You ready to swing a ding ding a ling a do?
Never say that ever again, then I yes I am.
All righty, baby. On your mark. Get set. Are you ready? It's a me, it's a Pagio.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Australian countdown. 3, 6, 7, 5, 2, 1.